everybody, and welcome to the jungle. I really wanted to use that as our intro song, but we're on a kind of limited budget, so couldn't really afford the rights to that one.
Well, we can afford the rights to Kanye.
Well, for like $1.99, you can just buy the song off of Amazon, so yeah, I guess I can. We'll get into the jungle party here in a little bit. Before this week's challenge, Heidi comes in and talks to all the contestants and just asks them how they are, and
they started out on a roller coaster.
I mean, yeah, technically.
Okay, because I was confused. That's why I wanted to say this. I was confused. I thought we were still getting last week's episode. So I couldn't tell. I guess I couldn't tell where it started.
They did do this weird thing where they showed everybody on a roller coaster and then, like, rewound to 5 days later or whatever it was.
8 hours earlier.
Okay, that's it. They checked in with the contestants. Heidi asked how everybody's doing, and she just gets a very bland, good. So you can kind of tell that everybody is feeling a little exhausted right now.
Yeah, it's kind of a long slog through Project Runway, and we're getting to the point where we've lost 6 designers, and the end is not necessarily in sight quite yet. So it's just, we've talked about this before, and we still haven't quite figured it out, how quickly these challenges are coming.
Right. Couple that with late nights of designing and sewing and running around, and
because they go till midnight.
Yeah. It can definitely wear on the contestants, and you can see that. So Heidi lets them know that they are in for a little bit of a vacation. And so they are going to be heading to Universal Studios in Orlando.
What did you think of this? I thought it was a very odd product placement or sponsorship sort of promotional thing on the show.
They seem to be doing that a lot more this season, where every single thing has to be sponsored by somebody. Mm-hmm. Even when it's just kind of a random thing. Like that transition lenses thing was so weird.
Because it seemed like they were in Orlando for a day. They got there, apparently they went on a couple rides, and the whole point, and they were met by, I believe it was the marketing director for Universal Studios theme park, and it seemed as though the whole challenge was premised upon using their expedition through Skull Island, which is a 3D King Kong-inspired ride, to create streetwear for the urban jungle of New York City. So they go on this ride, which it seemed very similar to a Harry Potter ride that I've been on. So it's probably a 15-minute sort of thing.
You would bring that up.
It's at the same theme park, Curtis.
I know.
I did tell Curtis during this episode that I wish it was Harry Potter inspired and not King Kong. But whatever. Doesn't matter. So after they get off the ride, they go to a sort of cabana thing where they get time to sketch. And then Tim promptly tells them that they're going back to New York City. So it just seemed like an odd placement for me.
Yeah. And then like when they were by the pool, they went into like how there's going to be this brand new like water park.
Yeah.
At Universal Studios. That's true. But they weren't like there at all. So it's like, hey, you're going to do your sketches around this pool. And speaking of pools.
Right. It was a weird transition.
Right. So they get their sketches done, they head back to New York, they head to Mood, they have $200 to spend, and everybody seems to be going for kind of the same motif almost.
Yeah. There's a lot of khaki, a lot of army
like
green.
Like safari.
Yeah.
And
I thought Dexter's sketch was just gross.
Yeah, it didn't look good.
Uh-uh.
They have a little face-to-face with Dexter, and he says that if anybody goes for this black faux fur, like a gorilla, like that's just going to be an automatic pass home. Yeah. It's way too obvious. And then through editing, they show Natalia buying that exact fur.
She's like, I was really going for the King Kong. And I'm like, oh no,
clearly.
Like, don't do that. So there's just a lot of, as we're going through mood, I was worried by the fabric choices, but also kind of the design choices, because we get everyone's talking head about, you know, what they're thinking about doing. We get kind of a flash up of some of the sketches. There's a lot of pants and a lot of jackets, which that's not entirely wrong for streetwear.
Sure.
But there doesn't seem to be a lot of variety.
Rick is one of the people trying pants again.
Yes.
He stayed away from them after the two times he tried it went mm-hmm. terribly.
A lot of drop crotch pants being yeah. thrown around early on in the episode.
Yeah.
I'm a little concerned.
Aaron, after being on bottom last week, is going back to her safe zone. She's going to try some embroidery
mm-hmm.
on these shorts that she's making. And then Laurence is also staying in her safe zone, which, why wouldn't she? It's treated her very well. She's going with another leather jacket, and I'm just curious if it's just going to be too much for the judges.
Right. She does not appear to be doing that sculpted shoulder, so Nina's, you know, fear isn't coming true. As we get into the workroom, I had flashbacks to the first couple of episodes. Because Brick's doing pants again, like you had said. Natalia's doing another jacket. Like she always says, last yep. week was the first time, I think, in this entire challenge, this entire show, she had not done a jacket. And we get a focus on Jenny's laugh again. So it's like we've come full circle.
Right. So we get our first round of Tim Gunn critiques. And he starts with Cornelius first. Cornelius is one of the people doing a drop crotch pants.
Mm-hmm.
Tim is a little afraid that what Cornelius has planned right now is kind of like faux street. It's like what he says that he wants it to be real street, not what a Broadway play would interpret as street.
Which I thought was really interesting, but I think he hit the nail on the head a yeah. little bit. Don't make it too costumey. He told him to channel Heidi, which I thought was interesting, probably because she's a judge. And I don't really think Heidi has much street style, but something cool and unique and
right.
interesting, I think.
He also is working with yellow, and Tim really pushes him to go for the yellow
mm-hmm.
because the judges love yellow.
Tim goes on to talk with Dexter, and Dexter is creating a cargo short, and he seems to be kind of inspired by the jungle theme of the ride. Tim said that he has a conundrum, which is let Dexter work exactly as he's described his concept, but risk it be too costumey. So it's kind of a back and forth because he's going for these very avant-garde sculptural shoulders and the jacket he's trying to create. So that's where this could turn costumey pretty quick. But he tells Dexter he needs to be 1,000% him, that if he's going to go home, he needs to go home for something he loves, which is something that, you know, comes up quite a bit. I think Dexter says he feels like the judges don't understand him. So he's trying to push the envelope, but in a good way, not with his cousin It shared
right.
dress from last week.
At least he is staying away from Fringe this week.
Yeah, thank God. I'm just like, maybe that will tell him that's not the way to go.
Right. Brick is next. Brick is making the pants, like we said, in like this black and white, almost zebra striped, but it's just a little more like psychedelic.
It's like
than that.
It's like the pattern that shows up when in old-timey movies when they're doing like a hypnotizing scene.
Yeah.
It's like
a good
that.
Way to describe it.
Yeah.
And then he got this vinyl material with just big geometric shapes on
mm-hmm.
it. Tim liked the patterns. He thought that they could go together really well. He just said that the proportions had to be correct.
Yeah.
With those stripes, Tim thought that the larger shapes on the top was going to look a little bit better.
What do you think of that choice of vinyl? What a unique decision there.
I mean,
vinyl doesn't scream street to me, nor does it scream any sort of fashion.
Sure, sure.
Where?
I mean, I didn't really see it, but if Tim Gunn saw it, then who am I to say he's wrong?
It's like, what do you make out of that? Like, are you making a like a raincoat out of that sort of geometric print?
Yeah.
I don't know. I thought that was curious. Tim is next talking with Robbery. And Robbery is having a kind of a hard time with streetwear and street style. He says that in Venezuela, there's not really a true street style presence.
Mm-hmm.
So Tim is telling him that there's no edge to his look. It's looking very polished. Robbery had a reptile sort of pattern that he made into a long sleeveless vest.
Yeah.
So it didn't come across as, you know, very street.
It looked kind of evening wear.
Yeah.
Rather than street.
It was not an urban jungle sort of thing.
Right.
Next comes Jenny's critique. And she's going for a boxier silhouette with a crop top and a high-waisted pant with kind of a unique pattern that she's embroidering. And Tim tells her to just do you. Kind of stick with what she's doing and kind of keep going. So we don't get a lot of critique with Jenny.
Yeah, and one of her first looks was like just this tan, like beige on beige.
Yeah.
Thing. And I was just like, what does she keep going with that?
That's a great point, because she did have a very drab color palette to begin with. So I wasn't sure. But then she had seemed to move away from that when he got to her for the critique. So maybe that was either the muslin or she was rethinking things. It's unclear. Right.
Rick seems to be going in a different direction than just about everybody else. Rick wants to portray like this punk rocker girl in his street style. So he's using a lot of black.
Tim's critique of Rick was pretty quick. I didn't have anything of substance that Tim gave him as direction. And honestly, overall, the episode was pretty light on Rick.
Yeah.
We didn't see a lot of him in the workroom or talking heads. So.
Right. Next, we move on to Aaron. And Aaron, it has committed her entire day to doing the embroidery on her shorts. So when Tim comes around, he just basically tries to get a feel as to what she wants to do. And it's almost like Aaron doesn't really have a design in mind, first of all. And she also just is like, yeah, I'm not going to have anything for my model to wear.
Yeah, she was doing this very weird, messy, unfinished embroidery on kind of a charcoal gray fabric. And there wasn't any rhyme or reason, it seemed, to how she was doing the embroidery. It was a kind of a golden yellow, I guess a Mizzou yellow sort of color. And it was just hard to see where it was going.
Yeah. This doesn't seem like it's going to turn out very well for Aaron.
No. Tim talks with Natalia next, and she is inspired by the bats that were part of the ride. And so she's creating a dolman sleeve jacket, which is a very sort of like a bat wing, so it's very long. And Tim says this jacket is just so heavy. And at this point, I would like to invite Curtis to do his Tim Gunn impression of what Tim said to Natalia.
So Tim is really like going into what Natalia's thought process is on this and how this is going to look. And Natalia explains this to him. And then there's a small pause and Tim hits her with a, and streetwear is what you do as a designer?
Boom, roasted.
Which was about the worst thing you could have said to her.
Because she had been talking up to that point about how this could be her challenge. She's really into streetwear. And as soon as she pulls out that King Kong-inspired fur trim for the lapel for her jacket, Tim's like, no. No, 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 no. Lose the fur. Crop this jacket. You know, you're not even seeing the detail of the pants. But she had a very bland color palette, too. She had a army green color for the jacket and khakis for her pant. So she was not inspiring a lot of confidence in Tim.
Tim moved on to Ma Jing after this. And Ma Jing is wanting to use a mixed media for his... It sounded like he wanted to make pants at first.
Yeah, he's all over the place again.
With two different types of denim. And then he got this gold mesh material that he was going to put over the denim. And Tim really liked that idea.
Yeah, he seemed to feel like it was very street and he really liked it. And Ma Jing was like, oh, wow, this felt amazing. That was his first good critique.
That's what a good critique feels like.
I think ever. I'm having a really hard time off the top of my head coming up with a good critique for Ma Jing.
Right.
Last, he talked with Laurence, and she is using a red leather to create a bomber jacket, and she's also doing a drop crotch, but not an exaggerated one, I guess, in a khaki color. And she just has the jacket done so far, and Tim thinks it's beautifully constructed, but he told her that she needs to make it unique from what's already in stores. She's doing a quilted look on the sleeves and has kind of a black collar and cuffs. And she's like, oh, no, I'm going to do kind of some unique details on the pockets. So she's already thinking about this.
Yeah. She's earlier in the episode, she said that she wanted to do the jacket first. She wanted to get the hard part out of the way, and then she could just throw the pants together. So Tim, like Antoinette said, really liked the jacket. He thinks the pants will be more of the same.
And as we are seeing the designers in the workroom as the day progresses, everyone's kind of, you know, ribbing on Laurence that she's really quiet and she's really focused and, you know, she's not really talking. And I don't know if it comes down to maybe the age difference at this point.
Yeah.
I think that Laurence she's 41 years old, and I think that everyone else in the competition is in their 20s, kind of the full range, either early or late. And so she has a daughter. She's a single mom.
But the thing about that is she's, like, by far the coolest person on the show.
She is. She is just, I think she's very confident in who she is. She knows what she wants, and she's not going to mess around.
Right.
And that's how she works in the workroom. Like, you know, Jenny and Dexter and Aaron are often, like, giggling or playing around. Even Cornelius and Natalia. And she's just like, well, you would probably be as far as I am if you weren't constantly joking right. with each other. And I totally get her point. Like, you have one day. A lot of them were struggling with time because they needed to create pants, a jacket, and a shirt for most of them. That seemed to be what everyone was doing. And so you have to finish all those edges, and you have to tailor the pants and tailor a jacket. So there is a lot of work going into that. So for the model fittings, it didn't seem like anyone had complete
right.
outfits.
I mean, is anybody but Laurence going
right.
to have
going
a finished look? I mean, like we said, they didn't really touch on Rick. Ma Jing seemed to be pretty far ahead in his design. Brick was pretty much done. He was just questioning if that's what he wanted to stick with.
Yeah.
But, I mean, Aaron is bombing hard here.
Mm-hmm.
It's very clear she's not going to get done. Cornelius is having trouble figuring out what he wants to do with his top.
Yeah.
Dexter is kind of back and forth on if he really wants to go all out in this jacket. So there are a lot of people on the fence.
Right. At the end of the day, there just seems like there are a lot of unfinished pieces. So there's a lot of work that has to be done on the day of the runway.
So we get to the runway, and we are reminded that Jenny has immunity, but Heidi also informs us that she is the last person this season that is going to get immunity.
Yes.
So it is all or nothing from here on in.
Mm-hmm. Today's guest judges are Rebecca Minkoff, who is a designer, and she's going to be on a new show on Lifetime. I forget the name of it. It's a Shark Tank for fashion.
Right. It seems pretty interesting.
Yeah. It's an interesting concept. And then Carly Chaikin?
Sure.
She's on Mr. Robot, and we don't watch that show, so we didn't know who she was. But I've heard it's good.
Yeah.
So we start off the runway with Brick's look. And my first thought is, I just don't know. Because these patterns are bizarre. But you can tell that the top is really intricate.
Yeah.
But then you look at it more, and I just don't love the fit of either piece. Something about the pants that he makes, once he gets to the top of the thighs and to the hips, there's just something about his fit and his tailoring that is just off. It's hard to describe, but you know it doesn't look that great.
Right.
And then the mixing of patterns isn't terrible.
Yeah.
But it's still, I think it's those pants. If he had gone with a solid black, perhaps, because let's describe the top a little bit. We haven't really done that. It is a boat neck sleeveless top, a little bit of A-line at the waist. And then he used the vinyl, which was a geometric pattern, and it's in kind of blush tones. And he cut out the larger kind of triangles and angles from this vinyl piece and mixed them with maybe a dark gray?
It's kind of, I think it's a mesh.
A mesh? Okay. It's hard to tell exactly. So he's put a ton of work into that top, and it looks interesting, but it's not very well fitting, and that's another issue with the top. So it just is kind of messy the more you look at it overall, and just kind of bizarre with those hypnotic
pants. And I thought the colors didn't go right well here either. I don't think this is streetwear.
No,
I think
that's
there's
a good
just
point
way too.
Too
much going on. Like, if you like close up on the top, that mesh looks really cool mm-hmm. with the patterns kind of mixed in there. It's just, I don't think everything goes together. I thought the fits weren't terrible, at least.
Right. It's hard to explain. And so I thought he might end up being safe. That was my initial feeling on that. But you know what? It's kind of bizarre, but the craftsmanship is pretty good in that top. So maybe this is going to be enough to just get him on.
Yeah. Rick is next. Rick, like you said, was going for kind of this punk look. And he really pulls that off really, really well. He makes just like a pretty simple black vest and some black pants. Would you call those cigarette pants?
I think there's like skinny jeans,
sure,
more so.
Sure, more skinny jean style than that.
But the waistband is weird.
Right. There's not a whole lot going on here. I think it's just too much black.
Yeah.
He does kind of put some lining in the vest.
I couldn't tell what that was.
I can't, like, just to kind of break it up a little bit, I think. And there's like a knee pad going on, and then some other kind of embellishment on the other knee. But other than that, it's just a lot of black on black.
There is something about the fit of these pants. There's like, and we had to rewind this several times to kind of catch it because of the black on black. It's like a shiny, long crotch. Like, it's almost a mom jean sort of look there. It to me, I'm like, I keep looking at that, and I cannot figure out what is going on.
I think maybe it's kind of supposed to be, like, industrial. Like, it's, like, almost, like, black duct tape or something like that put
maybe
on there, just kind of deconstructed.
Yeah.
And it was maybe just a poorly placed
that could be. I didn't
thing.
I did not love this look. To me, this vest seemed tuxedo inspired, but then it had the frayed edges, so I thought it was confusing.
Yeah.
It didn't seem very it could be streetwear, but it didn't scream like fashionable streetwear.
Right.
So I thought he could be on the bottom. Next is Natalia's look, and the colors are so drab. This, without this crop top, I said this could be a very boring doll, like grade school teacher or librarian sort of look. The jacket has these kind of big pockets, exaggerated pockets on it. There's the same on the back of the pants. So it's kind of a baggy, it's not a drop crotch pant. It's just kind of a baggy khaki pant that goes into a cuff at the bottom. And then this dolman sleeve jacket with a white crop top, but the color palette is so sad to me. It just is droopy and it doesn't seem very cool.
Yeah. This is definitely street. It's definitely fits into the challenge. All the bagginess for me didn't do it for me. I thought the coat was just a little too plain. It looks well made otherwise, like structurally, it looks really well made. It didn't do it for me, but I could see the judges loving this look.
Curtis, let me ask you something.
Mm-hmm.
Am I just not cool enough to understand the point of this challenge?
Maybe. I don't know.
I feel like, and this is kind of a preview, but I just hated all of these. And it's like, well, maybe I'm not very streetwear. And that's very true. Like, that's not my style. I don't know. You tell me.
I mean, the bagging, like, for like I'm right there with you. Like, drop crotch pants, don't get it.
I don't at
not a fan.
All.
Don't understand. But like, when you see these things come out on the models and you see when they're well made, you're like,
right.
I mean, it's not my thing, but I could see it. Maybe, I could see people liking that.
Maybe if she had used a different color, because they look kind of like Gap khakis to me a little
right.
bit. So maybe it's the color for me here that I just can't get over.
Yeah.
But I said this is bottom.
I could, yeah, like I said, I think the judges were going to love it just because there's like, these aren't styles that she just made up or that she, you know, was trying for something else and she just made it super poorly.
Right.
Like Natalia, you can tell, knows what's cool and what is hip.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think she was just going for it here.
Right.
I think the judges being, you know, as fashion forward as they are, could really like this.
The revelation that I'm uncool will come as a surprise to none of our listeners that know me.
I'm sorry, but that is correct. LaRosse is next. And, I mean, you can only say it so many ways. This jacket's incredible.
It is very cool.
The pants, as LaRosse was finishing up her pants, she noticed that there was something in the crotch area that just was not setting well.
Mm-hmm. Which is a problem since they're drop crotch
right,
pants.
Right, is a little too baggy. And as the model walks down the runway, this becomes very obvious.
Mm-hmm.
But otherwise, I mean, the look is perfect.
Why'd she choose khaki?
You have to remember that she's getting inspiration from...
That's true. From
this jungle thing. I still don't think it looks bad.
No, I do like this.
Even if that wasn't the case. Like, even if it was just make a streetwear outfit and she still went with this exact thing, it'd still look great.
Right. It does look good. I said safe because I was worried about the fit of those pants.
Right.
But otherwise, like I said, it's a bomber jacket. It has the quilted sleeve effect. It does look very, very cool. The styling is really great. She also just made a jersey tank top underneath. And then in the back on this jacket, which is kind of becoming maybe a signature LaRosse thing, she has the back of it being black, but then she has a slit opening showing that bright red color, which is similar to the jumpsuit that she made for the Every Woman Challenge.
Yeah.
Robbery's look came down the runway next, and this was just sad to me. Robbery created orange knee-length pedal pushers that are very wide-legged. And then he's got a white tank
top. Those are
top.
Shorts for the layman terms. They're shorts.
But they're like knee-length shorts. They're just bizarre. Like
they're
the
guy shorts.
Fit of them. And then he's got a high neck vest, sleeveless button-up vest that covers her butt in that reptile print. And then he put sandal slides on her.
Yeah.
It just doesn't go well together. The colors don't go well together. Everything is baggy, but not in a good way. Maybe like Natalia's. It looks like an outfit that you would do like housework in.
Right.
Guess, minus that vest.
Yeah. Thing. I thought the jacket was cool. But the rest is just really homeless.
Yeah.
Because the model takes the vest off and it's this essentially just like a white tank top that is like has a deconstructed style. So like the bottom of it is cut at an angle.
Yeah, it's like an asymmetrical top.
And I was like, this looks like it came out of the derelict collection from Zoolander.
And she's like, so skinny.
Everything just hangs off of her.
Yeah.
And like you said, those sandals didn't help making
the
it look like
all.
It was more polished.
Yeah.
Like she walks away and just like,
this is it. I said this is like the bottom look.
Like it's like, it's like the stereo, like on a like a sitcom, and like the woman's mad at a guy, and so she's like, I'm just gonna stop trying. Like that's what she would wear. Ma Jing's look is next, and I thought this turned out great. He went with a strapless dress, and that's what he did, the gold mesh over the denim. And then he also made what looks to be probably a denim jacket to go over the top in a dark denim. And I thought that everything looked really, really good here. Like that jacket is some Laurent's caliber work.
Except it's not street. He should have made this last week.
See, but I think this is street.
Okay, I don't know then. This is a strapless, below-the-knee dress.
Okay,
it looks like a cocktail dress.
If he had made it shorter, do you think that would have worked?
No.
Maybe.
I think the problem was that sweetheart top.
Yeah.
That's the problem for me, where and putting her in strappy red heels, like, good thing he had the jacket on, and it, you know, kind of took it out of the cocktail party, but this could have been a look that came down the runway last week. And what is wrong with his construction that he always has a baggy middle on these
That was
dresses.
Something that I know, like, that didn't look well. That didn't go very well.
Because I don't think that was, like, an intentional design element. Otherwise, I mean, it does look cool, but it doesn't seem right for the challenge.
Right. And then that something I noticed is that the mesh was just a little too tight. And so you got a lot of gold and almost no, whatever the denim color was underneath.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that could have turned out better, but I thought this was a great look.
Yeah, it looks good on the model, and you know that denim, you know, long line jacket looks really cool. I said he'll be safe for this probably. Aaron's look came down the runway after that, and it doesn't look great. It's really hard to describe. So let's start with the shorts. She made these ill-fitting shorts in a charcoal gray color. There is nothing stylish or sexy or unique about these shorts. And then she has her gold embroidery in random spots all over. There's no true rhyme or reason to it. The edges looked unfinished. It looks like she tried to create a diagonal pocket, perhaps. I'm not even sure.
They're almost conceptually similar to Robbery shorts in that, like, it's like what you would wear if you just stopped trying. Like they look like almost like gray sweatpants, cut off sweatpants shorts.
They do. That's a great way to describe it, because that material, I'm not sure what that material is, but it does look like sweatshirt or velour, right, or something. And they look comfy because they're kind of big. Yeah,
and the embroidery doesn't take away from that at all or help it at all.
It looks like, she said she was inspired by the moss on the ride. And so I guess it was supposed to be moss. Mm. It's very unclear that it was supposed to be. So then with the top, which she made like 10 minutes before the runway show, she used more of that gray material. And she tried to go for this unfinished shoulder detailing. So she has this black fabric, and it looks like it could be a cutout. But on the runway, as you get to a close-up, everything is unfinished, and you got these frayed edges, and it looks weird. She's got a seam going up the front of the top. It's not a great look, and I said she'll be on the bottom for it. What'd you think?
I thought that, I mean, I agree with that. I thought the top was kind of cool.
The concept was cool, yeah.
The concept. Mm-hmm. You can tell that she didn't finish it.
Yeah.
And you can tell that she literally threw that together. I bet that took her 20 minutes to make.
Right.
Like that, the two-tone sleeve, one of the few times a two-tone sleeve has worked for me in this season, because at least here, it's with the street style, it looks like it's a jacket that she kind of has it just kind of pulled up onto her shoulders.
I see what you mean.
But it's all one piece, so that's kind of a cool,
mm-hmm,
you know, a cool aspect. But like I said, you can tell this is just really quickly sewn together because she spent all the time on her shorts, which looked worse than the top that she spent 20 minutes making.
The whole thing was just very unfashionable.
Yeah. Dexter, his look comes out next, and he goes with kind of this all green motif. He also went with shorts. He went with a cargo short and a green jacket top with a black deconstructed kind of tank top underneath. Mm-hmm. And it's like crop top.
Yeah.
And he did end up going with those big avant-garde shoulder pieces.
Yeah. It's hard to describe what those are. Like if Mickey Mouse's ears were on his shoulder.
Yes, exactly. Costumey. He keeps doing it. It's still costumey. He looks like a character. This looks like a character out of like Street Fighter.
It looks, every time I see this, it looks like a frog because it's a green color. And then those shoulder things look like the frog's eyes. And then she's wearing gloves, like fingerless black gloves.
Mm-hmm.
Tim, those cargo pockets on those shorts are not in a great place. They're right on her hips.
Mm-hmm.
And that does not look very well. And the fit and the construction of the shorts is really off, especially around the crotch area.
I thought the jacket without those shoulder things would have looked great. Like, he could have made the jacket more than just this regular green jacket,
mm-hmm,
by taking those shoulders off and adding like pockets or something other than these weird ass shoulder things that
are
a completely different color than the rest of the jacket too.
I don't understand why they're essentially standing straight up. They literally look like frog's eyes. It's weird. I said this is a bottom look for sure.
Yeah, I didn't like this either.
And he had these buttons on the shorts that are skulls.
That was a cool
thing. An homage to the Skull Island.
I thought that was cool.
Okay, but the whole thing, I don't know. Cornelius's look is next, and I don't like this at all. So he didn't have a lot of time to create his top, so he created a very loose, ill-fitting daffodil yellow halter top with a deep V-neck. And it's a bit of a crop top right above the belly button. And then his pants are a drop crotch denim with patches on them. And then they're rolled at the bottom. And he kind of has like a suede booty on her feet. This screams very 90s to me. I think Bow Wow would have worn those jeans. And then it also could have been an old school, like, Destiny's Child costume in one of their, like, early 90s music videos. Sure. Like, maybe from Bills, Bills, Bills or something.
This exact outfit may have been in the Say My Name video.
Yeah, it's like, that is what it screams to me. And then, you know, like, Beyonce would have been in a, like, a skirt of the denim. And then Michelle would have had a different color of that top. Like, it is just...
But we never would have known because they wouldn't show Michelle on Michelle.
I liked Michelle. And this is just not great. It's definitely a bottom look for me.
I liked it.
No.
I did.
Why?
I thought he nailed it.
What part of
this? I thought he nailed it.
Do you see that top?
I do. I'll get there.
You can see her side boob.
I'll get there. The pants... could have been done better.
Crisscross.
They do look like crisscross pants because of the drop crotch.
Yes.
So it looks like the butt is in front, i.e. crisscross. But he got the challenge correct.
No.
This is streetwear.
In the 1990s.
It's still, no.
No.
And now.
No.
And now.
No one's wearing patchwork denim like that.
I think this would have been great. I like the yellow top pops, and he pointed that out. He's like, everybody's going with a lot of darks, a lot of
totally
blands, a lot of khaki, a lot of green. I need something that stands out, and he did it with that. Had the model come down the runway on one of those movable sidewalks like they have in airports, this would have been fine, because when she gets to the very end of the runway and just sits there and stops, the top looks okay.
No.
It's when she moves, like, right as they're going out to the runway, there's a shot of Cornelius's model coming at, go like getting ready to go through the door and like walking up, and both of us went, oh, because that top, it was not constructed well.
But if she
was just standing still,
no,
it would have been. I think it would have been okay.
Even her standing there, you can tell how ill-fitting that is around her boobs.
I mean, perhaps.
Yeah, there is so much extra fabric around that area. Oh boy,
I didn't think. I thought the look was great. Execution, not great.
Oh man. I cannot believe you love this look. I didn't love it. Okay.
I thought it looked good, though.
I love you still, even if you thought it looked good.
Oh, thank you.
Everyone has an opinion. I'm not cool, so I don't know these things. I look to you.
Jenny is our final contestant down the runway, and she has these pants... and a kind of a t-shirt almost, but like a crop top t-shirt.
Crop top.
Mm-hmm. And they're almost like sweatpants almost even. And they have like this, they're a dark blue, and then there's gold stitching all over it in these kind of weird design. Designer's cool, I guess. I thought there might have been just a little too much of it. Like maybe if she just... stayed with the pants and then did like a complimenting top, it would have looked a little bit better. But the top wasn't my favorite.
I really liked this. I thought it was cute and unique with that embroidered fabric, with the orange band. The thing that really I hated was the orange socks with the sandals.
God.
Like, what the heck? I thought it, you know, I could see the street style and like kind of the fashion forwardness of that material and the look. So this was a top look for me.
that socks and sandals.
I cannot believe that. That's poor.
Is faux pas.
Oh my god.
To say the least.
Yeah. So okay, what's your guess feeling?
I have my tops as Cornelius Laurence and Ma Jing.
Okay.
And I think Ma Jing is going to win.
Okay.
My bottoms are Aaron, Dexter, and Brick. I think Aaron's going home.
Okay. Here is my guess / feelings. My top is Jenny. Bottom, Cornelius, Dexter, Aaron, Robery, Natalia, Rick. Safe would be Laurence, Majing, and Brick.
So you think Jenny, they're going to give Jenny a win despite having immunity?
I've seen that happen before, and no, this is how, I hated this runway show.
Okay.
Hated it.
That's like, that is how I felt about it. I don't think I didn't understand the challenge or anything like that. And so it was all very blah, like the coloring. I get there's just being inspired by this ride. I didn't love it.
Right.
So Heidi tells Robery, Rick, Majing, and Jenny that they are safe. So then we have...
leaving Aaron, Dexter, Natalia, Laurence, Cornelius, and Brick.
Correct. So as we get into the judging, the judges start with Aaron. And I believe it was Zach that said, it looks like she got sick on the ride with that weird embroidery. The construction was ill-fitting. Rebecca thought that the embroidery looked like hay. Heidi and Nina were just disappointed in Aaron. Thought it felt immature and like a school project.
Yeah.
Fit was off. Heidi said again that she's just surprised that this is Aaron's look.
Yeah, nobody really had anything good to say.
Mm-mm.
There were little things of encouragement at the very beginning, but that was about it.
Yeah. Not a good.
Yeah, she definitely missed the mark here. Dexter's look is next. And Nina leads off, and she said she really liked it.
Yeah.
However, Zach and Heidi followed that up with very negative reviews. And then Carly described it as interesting and unique. But the way she said it, she definitely did not mean that as a compliment.
And Rebecca Minkoff said that if you're going to go for something like this with that weird shoulder, you have to execute that extremely well. She said the shoulders weren't even, the shorts were not a good fit. So if you're going for something very strong and editorial and very different, you have to just have the best execution possible.
Yeah.
And that wasn't the case here. So it was very difficult after this judging to tell where Dexter fell on the scale, whether he was in the top or in the bottom.
Yeah.
They moved on to talk with Natalia, and Heidi loved it. She said that she nailed it. Everyone loved the jacket. It was effortlessly chic. Had a street swagger, but still being forward-thinking, which, I don't know, I'm shocked by that, but
right.
What do I know?
One of the guest judges, I think it was Carly, they didn't show her saying it, it was just kind of off to the side, that she said that if she saw this on the mannequin, she would be like, where can I get this entire outfit?
Mm-hmm.
So she really liked it. I think you could kind of tell that Nina is like swallowing her true feelings on this look, because I think Nina recognized that this is street, that this is what is in, this is what is now.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't mean she agrees with that. It doesn't mean she likes it.
Yeah, she may not like that direction of fashion necessarily.
And that's literally how you could describe her interaction with Kelly.
Yeah.
The entire season last season.
That's a great point.
Is that Kelly knew this was cool, mm-hmm. knew it was hip, and Nina was just like, I don't get it.
Kelly would have killed this challenge.
For
she
sure.
would have done so well.
While we're on the topic of that, Tasha goes home a week early.
Yeah.
This was also probably her challenge to do really well.
Mm-hmm. That was a bummer for her.
They talk about Brick's look next. And, whew, not a lot of good things coming from the judges here. Rebecca Minkoff comes out hot. And just, I'm curious if this woman got dressed in the dark.
Yeah.
there is way too much going on, is what she says. And she's not wrong.
Right. Zach said he doesn't understand the taste level. Heidi and Nina said that this needs more work with the conception. And Nina's like, it looked like it happened without planning. And then Brick chimes in and says, oh, it did. And Heidi got upset. She's like, why would you admit that?
Right.
Like, you, probably because she's thinking you get time to plan and sketch out. This isn't like an on-the-fly sort of thing.
Right.
So not happy with that look. And they're definitely calling him out for kind of the crazy print there.
Mm-hmm.
The judges next talk with Laurence, and they love it. They're just, you know, heaping on the praise here. They say this is a very intelligent look. Nina calls the slit in the back her signature look. Very polished and poised. Great construction. Even though the pants are a little off, everyone loves it. It looks very street smart. You know, if they saw this girl, they'd want to know where she was going and all about
right.
her. Heidi definitely loved it.
Yeah. One of the first things that somebody says is that she is showing her brand, which I think is huge for this show.
Mm-hmm.
I'll go into it a little bit later, but it's good that the judges recognize what her aesthetic is and what looks are hers for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they didn't even seem to mind the construction problems with the crotch. It did lead to some very interesting conversations amongst the judges. But overall, I think they kind of let it slide.
Zach seemed very offended or aghast that Heidi would use the word penis, which they say vagina on the runway all the time, so I'm not really sure what the difference is there, but Zach was like, Heidi?
I think it was more of a fact that Heidi was just like, she had a penis, and now she doesn't have a penis.
Because they kind of fixed the way the penis
they pulled
was sitting.
They pulled the waist up on the pants, and that kind of fixed the problem. Or pulled it down
yeah.
from the bottom, and
mm-hmm.
that kind of fixed everything. Moving on. Finally was Cornelius. Most everybody was pretty down on this. They said it was not very well done. And that it looked pretty sloppy.
Yeah.
Especially the top that he made.
Is that the execution was bad. This is not new, not fashion forward. Can't work a sewing machine. Uninspired. So not.
He did have one person sticking up for him. Surprisingly, it was Nina.
Yeah.
Nina said that this is today. This is very. Very now. This is very in fashion.
That cannot be true.
And that this was a good concept. It was just very poor execution.
Well, then Carly said that even if he had a week, the execution wouldn't get better.
Right. Which, what does she know?
I don't know. I don't know anything about her.
Right.
So, even though it was unclear where Dexter kind of shook out at once they were doing the judging, it seems as though the top designers are Laurence, Dexter, Natalia, and the bottom are Cornelius, Brick, and Aaron.
And I think we have a very interesting decision-making process for the judges here. What do you want to reward, and what do you want to judge people on?
Right.
We have three looks here where the three things that were wrong with it are very, very obvious.
Yes, and they're very different, too.
Right. With Aaron, the judges were kind of wondering, is what we saw in the very beginning, was that her peak?
Yeah, was that an anomaly?
And Nina says that the embroidering is her crutch. She is relying way too much on that.
Mm-hmm. Rather than actually kind of designing and conceptualizing something cool and fashion forward, her fashion forwardness comes from embroidering very unique and cool details. But like with today's look, it the embroidery wasn't really necessary. If she had really put all that time and effort into creating a really cool and polished and well-fitting look, she wouldn't have needed embroidery.
Right. And then you have Brick,
mm-hmm.
who I think everybody agreed that he is improving in terms of his construction.
Yes.
Like his pants the very first week were awful. And he's gotten considerably better. Last week he had a great dress. But his designs and his ability to see things going together clearly is basically non-existent.
And that's what is, I guess, sad in a way, is that Brick could work at a fashion house as someone that's helping to construct the clothes. But he's not going to be the top dog doing the design.
The idea, man.
Yeah, he's not going to be doing that. And so what, you know, it boils down to here is good effort and seemingly good sewing skills, but poor taste and no concept.
Mm-hmm.
And then with Cornelius, you have just poor fit and a poor concept. There wasn't much to go off of as far as judging, or there weren't many elements of that look that seemed to get any sort of positive feedback or reviews from the judges.
Right. So I feel like the judges had to, I know they're not supposed to, but had to take previous weeks into consideration.
I agree. It's hard not to. They're only human. But I think that Erin's saving grace in a lot of ways these past 2 weeks have been her pretty amazing looks prior to that.
Right.
And maybe the curiosity to see if she can come back.
Sure. So the top two pretty clearly are Laurence and Natalia.
Mm-hmm.
And we learn that Laurence is the winner. Not surprisingly here, I think.
No, I didn't question that really. Especially because last week she didn't.
I thought the combination of sticking to the challenge parameters of, you know, gathering inspiration from the ride and making a urban fashion thing, she probably was the best at both of those.
Mm-hmm. I agree. And I thought they were going to give a kudos to Natalia before she walked off the runway, because it seemed like they wanted to give her props for kind of turning the corner since she had been in the bottom the past 2 weeks. But they kind of just said, Natalia and Dexter, you're in.
Yeah.
So we missed that part.
So it comes down to the bottom three. Personally, I didn't know where this was going to go.
I didn't either. Because they weren't happy with any of them.
Right. They say Erin's name first. Tell her she's safe. So she goes.
Yeah.
So we are down to Brick and Cornelius. And it is the happiest day for Antoinette so far this season. Because Brick is gone. Brick loses and Brick is going home.
I do feel bad for him in a way because of how much effort he put into that top.
Yeah.
And maybe if he had not went with that hypnotic print, it could have gone differently for him.
Right. And like I said before, I feel like there had to be some kind of consideration.
Yeah.
Put into it from previous weeks to see who's moving on. Because it's very clear that Brick has no idea how to put looks together.
Yeah.
And so I think they kind of figured it doesn't matter how well you can put, like, you can construct the clothes. If it doesn't look good together, it's still terrible.
And I'll be honest with you, thinking about those three bottom looks, I think I would have worn Brick's out of all of it. If I had nothing to wear except those three, I would have gone with Brick's. Because yeah. At least you have some sort of shape to the clothes, even
right.
If it wasn't the most well-done top. I'd rather wear those bizarro pants than a 90s crisscross throwback jean.
Mm-hmm.
And, or any of Erin's weird, sad clothes that she had made. So there's that at least. And sometimes that's the test they use. But I think that Brick's body of work wasn't strong enough in comparison. Honestly, I don't even know if Cornelius's body of work is all that strong.
Brick has only been in bottoms.
Yeah.
Cornelius at least has a top three finish.
Right.
And was he the third person in that, or was he? He got second. They were choosing between him in that the Blacklight Challenge.
In the Blacklight Challenge, right.
Between exactly. Him and Erin.
Right. Right. And so Brick did not leave us without one more Brickism for the road. In his Talking Head interview, he said, "Every door that closes opens up a window, at least." He gave a little pause in there. "And if the window is locked, just punch it out."
Even the guy who can't think says something.
Very inspiring, Brick.
Wise words from a wise man. So, power rank them.
I will preface this by saying this was very hard for me mm-hmm. to do this week. Because, again, like we kind of say before, thinking about the group of people that are left, Majin, Cornelius, Natalia, I just don't see them in this sort of listing.
Sure.
So, okay. My number five is Erin.
Free fall.
She has really lost her footing. I think that right now, these past 2 weeks, she is riding on the fact that she did very well and they really liked her designs and that she's very innovative and a breath of fresh air, and they're hoping she can regain that. I don't know if she's lost confidence, if she's focused on one thing, if she's just having too much fun with Dexter. I don't know.
Ma Jing is my number five.
Oh, really?
He's been decent. He hasn't stood out. He's only had one, albeit horrendous, challenge. But he's only had that one bad one. Everything else, he's just kind of been in the middle. I thought that his look last week was really good.
Yeah.
And I liked his look this week. So he's at five for me.
Yeah.
Number four is Robbery. Still just kind of hanging there off of his first three challenges. But, I mean, we're like 3 weeks since then,
yeah.
And he just hasn't put together anything that great.
Mm-hmm.
So he's still just kind of hanging right there.
That's similar as my number four. I have Rick, and I just keep thinking of the looks that Rick did really well. And the past couple weeks, he hasn't really blown me away, but I didn't know who else I would insert there. So that's why it was difficult to do.
Okay.
My number three is Robbery. And the same thing like you said, he, I think, has a lot of potential, but has really struggled to really find his voice and execute a great challenge in the last few weeks. So I'm hoping he can turn it around as well.
We flip-flopped three and four. I have Rick as three. Again, pretty much the same thing as Majing. He's just done it a little bit better. He had one really bad challenge,
mm-hmm.
but everything else has been very, very good.
Mm-hmm.
We have a change in the guard. Erin is my number two.
Oh.
And I nearly put her as number three, honestly. In my mind, Rick hasn't done quite enough to mm-hmm. take that spot, but Erin is, like, just falling on her face left and right.
Yeah. I moved Jenny into number two, and I am not sure about that pick even still right now. Only because her trajectory is the complete opposite of Erin's. So when Erin started going down, Jenny started going up.
Mm-hmm.
So I will be curious if she can sustain that. Do I think Jenny is the one is the best designer? Is she my favorite designer? No. I just think she happens to be hitting the right buttons right now.
So we have the same number one.
Mm-hmm. I think this is the clear favorite now.
For sure. She's LaRosse is as clear of a favorite now as Erin was in the first three weeks. I mean, we've said, just like I said earlier, just about everything we can about LaRosse. She probably has the best grasp on what is not just cool and looks good, but also wearable and translatable. Mm-hmm. Like, sure, this week, for example, sure, Natalia's outfit may have been fashion forward and cool, but not everybody's going to wear that.
Yeah.
Just about any woman would wear LaRosse's look this week.
I agree. And I'm really curious to see a full collection from her. Especially because she does a lot of leather work. She has a lot of jackets. So I'm curious to see what, like, an evening gown or, you know, kind of different looks would be. So, and that's the thing. You want to be intrigued to see more.
Yeah. And it's just kind of, you know, impressive to see her growth from week one. Granted, she did win the second week challenge.
Mm-hmm.
But week one, where it seemed very uninspired, like she was just, you know, had this regular white dress with bead necklaces, worn as bead necklaces, and it didn't seem like there was much vision there. And now here we are, and she's at this point head and shoulders above everybody.
She's killing it. So next week we did get to see the preview this time around. Next week looks to be another team challenge, and it looks to be a doozy.
Mm-hmm.
And Kelly Osborne is back as the guest judge for next week, which is only important because last season she was the guest judge for a team challenge and called out poor teammates. So will we see a repeat performance from her?
Right. And different from the previous team challenge, this is going to be three teams of three.
Right.
So we will see how, I think when you get smaller teams, there's going to be more butting heads because there's no hiding poor design. There's no hiding bad construction.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot of pals on the show too. So that seems to be problematic.
So yeah, if somebody gets teamed with Cornelius and Natalia, mm-hmm. or Dexter and Erin, they could be sitting on the sideline while the other two just take over.
Right. So stay tuned for those fireworks.
Yes, we will have to see how next week turns out. Until then, we will talk to you next week. Hopefully we have a World Series champion of the Chicago Cubs. That'd be great. Otherwise, enjoy the rest of your week.
See ya.
Auf Wiedersehen.